Well, I'm just trying to think how long Johnny Carson was on the air, and you'd made the statement right before we came on that you've been on the air longer than Johnny Carson with this show. It's probably pretty close.
I think he did better financially, probably.
You think so? He started, I believe, in 1962, something like that.
Yeah, you know, when you're a superstar on an obscure AM radio station in East Tennessee, you're really not a superstar.
You're a local minor celebrity.
You're just a person who gets on there and talks. Waiting, and then people are waiting for the next person to get on there and talk.
One of my good friends, whenever I'm with him, and he'll introduce me to somebody, especially if we go to, antique places or something outside the area. We do a lot of that, and he'll introduce me and say, "This is one of our local minor celebrities."
You know, when I look back on my career, though, there's not many things that I have done. Well, very few things that I've done for this long. You know, other than just being in the car business, but to do a radio program for 22 years and to stick with it. You know, that's always been an issue with me is you know. Staying power, you know, staying with something that, whether it be a marketing thing or a process or something like that, it's the way we sell cars or the way we do something at the dealership. It's a, you know, I'm kind of a, I'm the opposite of a lot of people. I like change.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people like things to stay the same. They like consistency. I get bored with doing the same thing the same way every time. Although, you can look at both sides of that and say, well, you know, both ways can be either successful or both of them can be very destructive as well. But I think this radio show has done, I think it's done good, you know, for people. And I think it has kept them informed on things that are going on in the industry and, you know, maybe giving them some tips and things to do to avoid the pitfalls. I mean, I think about as I was driving up here through the beautiful countryside, I'm reflecting on, you know, what is the most valuable lesson that I have learned in the car business? And I really had a hard time coming up with one. I'm going to work on that and think about some of the valuable lessons that I have learned. Most of them have been mistakes that I have made. Things that when I look back on my career in the car business, I wish I had done this more and done this less.
I'm thinking that you're probably aiming toward relationships a lot, and you probably pattern things toward relationships and how you can better foster those in the business, you know?
Yeah, I mean, one of the mistakes I think that I've made is spend too much time in my office.
Yeah.
You know, I think that a person who runs a business isn't running the business if they spend too much time in their office.
The business is running them, kind of, in a way.
Or they're just not seeing what they need to see. I think some of the most successful smaller dealers like me in the industry are very engaged in the front end, and I've been that way. When I say the front end, I'm talking about the sales department and then the back end, which is the service department. And I've always been very service-oriented, and I've not been one who really likes to work behind a desk, either in the sales department as a sales manager. I want to be out there on the floor meeting customers and engaging with them and helping them buy cars. And you know, you can't have people that all of them want to do that. You know, you've got to have people with different skill sets, people that don't mind sitting behind a desk and crunching numbers, and they're every bit as valuable as the person out front. Because if that person doesn't do their job right, then you can lose a lot of money. You know, because, I mean, it's true that if a new vehicle is not sold or a used vehicle isn't sold, then the business doesn't exist. You know, that's where our revenue comes from, is selling vehicles and servicing vehicles. But, you know, there's so much more to it than that. And so anyway, you're right, though, the relationship building. You know, when I first graduated from college, my mom and dad really wanted to push me into getting involved civically, and it's just not something I wanted to do. You know, and it was selfish of me, I guess, in retrospect, but I believe that, I mean, they were right. They usually were, you know, when it came to that kind of stuff.
I did like what you said your dad said is paying your civic rent. I like that statement.
Yeah, and I just, that just didn't seem that important to me. I didn't understand how important relationships were and the kind of relationships that you can build by working with other people on other projects outside of the business. I thought it needed to be, okay, my wife and myself, you know, the sports that I was interested in playing and work. You know, it wasn't about this other stuff. But as I've gotten older, if young people just listen to this, stay involved, you know, get involved in youth sports and not just when your kids are playing. You know, get on a Parks and Recreation board you know, get involved with a civic organization. I don't know how civic organizations are doing now. Things like Rotaries, Kiwanis, Exchange Club. I don't think the JCs even exist anymore, do they? Are they still out there?
I think in some communities they're still there. I'm just wondering if, and I haven't heard this for sure, whether they just didn't meet during the pandemic or maybe they did some things virtually, you know, had some meetings. You know, I don't know.
You can raise money online now without ever going out and going into somebody's business.
Right.
A really good customer of mine came into the dealership yesterday, and she wanted to renew my I guess, subscription or my spot on the outfield wall at the Kiwanis baseball field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was reflecting on how she has missed so much, you know, during the pandemic, just getting out and doing what she was doing today, you know, getting out and getting my money and to do that. But for her, it was just, we just enjoyed getting back together again and mm-hmm. talking about what's been going on and mm-hmm. how have you been enduring, you know, all of this. Mm-hmm. I asked Abby this morning to send me a list of things that she could think of that she will always remember. Abby is my daughter, by the way, and that she will remember about our business and enduring the pandemic. And I want to share some of those with you right after the break.
All right, we'll do that right after we pause for this. All right, we're back here. My Car Guru, by the way, on the air for this Tuesday morning, talking about things that made a lasting impression during this pandemic that we've been under, and I guess in some respects we're still under it, officially.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the light's kind of at the end of the tunnel, I think, but, you know, the variant has kind of jacked things up a little bit again. But when we talk about things making a lasting impression, you know, one thing that immediately hit me, Lenny, was that I'll never forget, it, being the big sports fan that I am, last March and April,
yeah,
when things just, the sports world just came to an absolute standstill.
Yeah, they canceled March Madness, didn't they?
They did, and that's one thing I always enjoy about March. March and April are two of my favorite months, and one of the things I enjoy so much about March was the tournament, and it didn't take place, and it just seemed like that was missing. And I know it's sports. I know in the grand scheme of things it's not important, but sports is important as kind of a side escape for a lot of people.
Yeah, sure.
You know. Kind of
recreation is important.
It is to mm-hmm. kind of relax by, even if it's just watching it on TV or whatever. And so that hit me this past weekend, of course, was the Masters, and I watched a good part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember last April, I didn't get to watch the Masters, and mm-hmm. I always enjoy watching the Masters. But sports came to an absolute standstill and really didn't pick up until I think NASCAR was the first to kind of get back to it, and it was several weeks down the road. Last year before they finally got a schedule together. And I will never forget that. It just, you know, I've thought about things about sports having strikes, especially baseball strikes where there was no baseball going on, but that was just baseball. This is all of sports. Came to an absolute standstill. Now, I think during that we learned some lessons. Those of us who are big sports fans and follow it learned that we can turn our attention to other things maybe a little more. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little more toward family. Maybe a little more toward whatever it may be. Things that may be a little bit more important, but that certainly stands out in my mind. And I think one of the other things that I'll never forget is just this transition. And we had done a lot of virtual things before, but there's not anywhere near the impact virtually as far as using computers to have meetings, to do mm-hmm. work, to be at home and work, all those things surrounded in virtual communication. That has made a lasting impression on me, just the way that it seems like virtual stuff has taken over. It's to the point where you turn on a TV commercial, and some of those commercials now are virtual. It shows people on a Zoom meeting or whatever it may be. And just that taking over.
We should have bought Zoom stock.
I guess we should have. But those two areas I think about a lot with this pandemic that I'll never forget for those impressions.
Well, you know, the list that Abby gave me kind of opened my eyes again to what the reality was in that. And there have been people over the decades that have faced a whole lot more hardships than we have. I look back on the stories my mom and dad used to tell, you know, how the lights had to be out every night, you know, during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how the rationing and, you know, not being able to buy gasoline, certain products. My mom's dad was an old country doctor, and he had access to new tires for his car, and he could drive because he was the basically one of the few doctors in that small town in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if he needed tires, he could get them. If he needed a new fan belt, he could get it. But if you were just an average person, you know, just working every day, or a farmer or something like that, you had a hard time getting that stuff. And, of course, we ran into some shortages, too. Toilet paper being one of them, which I have never have been able to figure out.
No.
You know, some of the things Abby said, she said just the eeriness of the empty church parking lots on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people went from going to church to watching church online.
Yeah. And I wonder if those habits are going to change, how long it will take to get people back in.
Well, there are some that will continue to watch online. I think especially those that are, you know, a little bit afflicted or whatever, and they can't make it out. I think there's going to be more of an emphasis on that kind of thing. But I know our church has gone back to really having really good attendance.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
Seeing lines of people at the bank taking out cash.
Okay.
Walking in one direction at the grocery store. These are things that my daughter Abby will remember about the pandemic.
Trying to follow the arrows.
Yeah, yeah. You know, what I've noticed, and just adding to that, was the lack of interaction with strangers at the grocery store. Normally when you don't have a mask on, I felt like there was more, hey, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
Good, good.
Mm-hmm.
And when people had a mask on, they were almost like invisible to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And did you sense that as well?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, I just didn't know if they were just avoiding me.
And you can't tell if expressions on some people, whether they're smiling. Or, now, some people smile with their eyes, but some people don't.
Oh, yeah.
And
depends on how old you are and how many wrinkles you got.
Exactly.
Right?
But you couldn't tell people's expression, and you still can't with mask on a lot of time.
She said, when Mom brought me a bag of plastic gloves to wear to pump gas. She won't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
She won't forget when Lysol wipes were out of stock at Amazon. When we at the dealership split our staff in half in order to keep at least half of the people healthy, you know, to where if we had an infection, we just, you know, we'd sit in meetings and just strategize about, you know, how are we going to survive this as a business?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, early on, car dealers were selected as an essential business, which I thought was important from the get-go, because we continued to be very busy in our service department.
Mm-hmm.
You know, putting up the barriers and wearing masks and all of the different things that we tried to do to keep each other safe and to keep our customers safe. She said how powerless she felt when she found out that our employees that always wore masks still got COVID.
Yeah.
Which I think we had somewhere between 6 and 8 people out of 60 plus that ended up getting it. And they were all younger people that, of course, most of the people that work for me now are younger than, well, all of them are younger than me. I'm the old guy. when we delivered groceries for people and ran into a man that had a full gas mask on when we did so. Going to the drugstore and stuff for customers, you know, we offered that to folks and that was rewarding. You know, because people were afraid and they didn't want to go to the grocery store and they were, but they needed to, you know, so we did that because we certainly weren't selling any cars there for a period of time. When she said, when I stopped, she has some very dear neighbors across the street and they're older, they're about my age and Abby and her two little kids would go across the street on a regular basis and they had to stop going over there visiting because she was afraid that they would infect them and make them sick.
Yeah.
When I sprayed down my mail with Lysol, when they ran out of pinto beans at the grocery store, she also said, I haven't read this is the first time I've read through these. When you decided to build a dealership in the middle of a global pandemic, I thought you were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife is a quilter. She, has a little quilting business with her best friend and, they stopped making quilts there for a while and started making masks. You know, for friends and people, stuff like that. Some of them were like designer masks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I did make a decision early on. I mean, we had broken ground. We had to make a decision whether we were going to move forward or not. And that's one of those things where, you know, it goes back to what I said real early on in this broadcast was, you know, I'm pretty bold sometimes when it comes to making decisions. And that has burned me before.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it has also rewarded me. And in this particular case, it was the right decision. But that was a, you know, multi-million-dollar decision that had to be made. And, you know, maybe I just thought to myself, well, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down big, you know, but that wasn't the mindset. I just knew that eventually this would turn. This was something that we needed to do for our business. And I just had confidence in the ability of this country and its leaders and the citizens of this country to overcome this.
Yeah. I mean, after all, it comes down to an individual decision and how you respond to it and how you're going to behave with it. And, they're talking about the variant drawing the numbers back up a little bit, jacking them back up. But it really comes down to an individual, you know. It's up to you individually and how you handle it. And then that ends up making the whole group of people,
You know. I think if you feel vulnerable due to age, due to health circumstances, that those folks will probably continue to be more protective of themselves, whether it's wearing a mask, which there's a lot of people out there. Some people, some vocal people think that that doesn't matter. But I personally think it does. As far as what you touch and how you know, I've changed when I go to the bathroom. I know this show's about cars, but it's kind of about life too. And, when I go to a public restroom, I mean, I will wash my hands, I will dry them off, and then I'll use the towel to open the door. And then I'll open it the rest of the way with my elbow and throw the towel or the paper towel in the garbage because I don't want to touch certain things.
Yeah.
And, of course, we probably should have done that before the pandemic, since most people don't wash their hands, it seems like.
Yeah.
But, you know, this changed us, and this will live with us for a long time. And I don't think we need to dwell on it. There's a lot of bright signs in the economy. You know, I'm facing a big headwind right now, all car dealers are, with the chip shortage. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, what's the big deal with the chip shortage? And I say, well, they're just not available, and they're essential to building cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are I read something that said there were between 130 and 150 microprocessor chips on an F-150. And so that's a lot of computing power, and that's why they're having to rotate plant closings. It's affecting people's jobs. It's affecting our supply of vehicles. And, you know, if you look at the advertising that's out there right now, you would think that there is no shortage and dealers are still wheeling and dealing, and they are. But it's a limited inventory that we're dealing with. Just drive down, any automobile row, drive around the dealership and look at their inventory. They've got stuff jammed up toward the front, so it looks like the lot is full. But when you go back and you drive around, you'll see how empty the lot is.
Yeah.
And there are positive and negative impacts of that, and we'll finish that right after the break.
And back here on My Car Guru for this Tuesday morning as we get ready to wrap things up, kind of my life guru or my dealing with COVID
guru. I wouldn't say that. Yeah, well, you know, how we dealt with it. But, you know, I was talking about the shortage of new vehicles. We've been blessed as a Nissan dealer. Nissan has been less affected, as has Toyota, than the domestic automaker. So, but from an advertising standpoint, from a, you know, sales staff, we're really having to scramble to find product. We're buying F-150s from a dealer in Kansas. Right now, we've got five more F-150s coming in from them because they're not selling out there, and you know, we were willing to pay a little bit up, you know, for them to have some inventory to sell. But the good thing for consumers is that used cars are no longer depreciating, and they haven't been since late last year. So every month when we look at the books, the value of your trade-in, especially if you're driving an SUV, like a crossover SUV or a, you know, full frame SUV or a truck, they're actually going up in value every month. Now, there's going to be an end to this, but it won't be anytime soon, Tim, because there is such a short supply of used vehicles.
Yeah.
If you want to sell your vehicle, if you've got an older vehicle that you've had for a while, and or a truck or an extra vehicle you want to sell, please call me. I mean, I will buy it. I will bring you a check. I did last week when I drove away from here in the Mach-E. I went to see a friend in Limestone. I stopped at his business. I wanted to show him the Mach-E. 30 minutes later, I left, and I owned two extra vehicles, okay, because he had a 2018 F-150 he wanted to sell and an older vehicle, a vintage vehicle that he wanted to sell, and I bought them both in just a few minutes. Had to go back to the dealership, get a check, brought it to him, and picked up the vehicle. So, you know, if you have something, you'd rather have money than that vehicle sitting in your driveway. Now is the time to do that. Feel free to call me or text me at 552-2020, and I'll be glad to help you out with that. It's just another residual dynamic, you know, that is that is taking place because of what we've been through for the last year. And these types of echoing effects are going to continue to happen we don't really know what the next one will be.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know this, that we all have the ability to overcome it as long as we, you know, take the positive mindset and instead of the negative mindset.
Yep.
It's a dangerous pitfall to fall into to start being negative, that's for sure.
Yep. All right, that'll do it for My Car Guru this Tuesday morning, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.